All right, we are missing a couple people, but we have a quorum, so we can get started here. I will call this meeting to order, our May 5th meeting of the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee. First of all, thank you, Sheriff Figueroa, for hosting us. We really appreciate it. It's an important experience, I think, for every legislator. I know we have a couple more that are going to be joining that aren't on the committee, but are going to join for the tour after the meeting. With that, I'll start by entertaining a motion to approve the minutes of the April 7th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. I'm going to be leaning on you two here, all right? So
we'll try.
There's no cavalry behind you here. All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Great. That is unanimous approval of the minutes. We can get into resolutions. The first resolution, resolution number 189, establishing a policy for prohibiting the housing of incarcerated individuals transferred from facilities outside of Ulster County, the no more incarceration for profit policy. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make the motion.
Second? All right.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's,
okay.
You know, just switching back and forth. So before there's discussion, I will just say I spoke with the sponsor of the legislation. He wishes to have more conversation with you, Chair Figueroa, and pending that, would like us to postpone again tonight. Okay. So if there's, you know, I'll entertain, anyone who wants to talk about it, we can talk about it, but I'd rather talk about it with the sponsor present. Mm-hmm. I know that after understanding a little better, I'm not comfortable passing it in its current form anyway, so I appreciate that he's asking for the postponement tonight. I would like to hear if you would be so kind as to give me a motion to postpone.
I will motion.
Second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. We are postponed on 189. Resolution 269, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with Catskill Development Holdings, LLC, for a substation of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office for Public Works, Buildings, and Grounds. Do I have a motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Sheriff, would you like to give us
this
some background?
This is the zone for renewal of the lease up on Route 28 in St. Aiken.
So this is a substation where you're...
Correct. So we have several stations throughout the county. It's a pretty big county. We have Esopus, Walk Hill, the Ulster County Community College, St. Aiken, Port Ewan, and Zone 5, which is the our navigation, which, by the way, everybody's invited to tomorrow. We're christening the new boat.
I'll be
at
there.
12 noon at the mount, so please, if you can make it, that'd be great.
I've been That's looking cool. forward to that since we passed the resolution authorizing the purchase.
Thank you. You wanted to add something?
Worsing.
And Worsing, I'm sorry.
Okay.
The airport at Worsing.
All right, and this is a renewal on basically the same lease terms as prior?
Correct.
Okay, great. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, 269 is unanimous. Resolution number 270, amending the 2022 to 2027 Capital Improvement Program, establishing capital project number 634, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center Kitchen and Laundry Equipment, amending the 2022 Capital Fund Budget for the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Do we have a motion to
I'll make a motion
discuss?
To discuss.
Second it.
Thank you. Sheriff Figueroa, would you mind giving us some background?
So most of the, and we'll see that today when we walk through, we actually had a fire with one of the dryers last year that had to get replaced, and we had to put out the clothes to a private company to get dried up because we didn't have enough. These appliances have been in place since 2006. They're old. They need to get replaced. We definitely don't want another fire again. And but when we go downstairs, I'll show you the difference between the old one and the new one. And it's more efficient, too, because we're talking about stuff that was put in 2006 compared to today's technology. So it really is time to replace this stuff. And when we go downstairs, I'll more than happy to show it to you.
Any questions?
My question is about the kitchen equipment. Is that related to the laundry?
No, but it's also, this stuff has been in place since 2006 and needs to be replaced. We've had several issues, and The kitchen is run by trustees, and if the equipment gets old, we've had a couple of instances where someone got electrocuted. We train the individuals, but sometimes the equipment, because it's old, is faulty, and we're talking about liability issues here. So we're looking at replacing stuff that needs to be replaced. If it didn't need to be replaced, we wouldn't be asking you for it. And that's something that I rely on our folks downstairs. Again, we'll take a look at I don't know if you've been to the kitchen downstairs. It's a full commercial kitchen. Again, a lot of this stuff was put in 2006. So.
Saved you a seat.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And one question that I think might come up, I don't know, no one on this committee I don't think has brought it up yet, but I suspect at least one other member might ask about it, so we should be prepared. Some of this equipment is gas-fired, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and would it be fair to say that there's really not a non-gas-fired option for commercial grade?
At this point, there's not for a commercial grade. That's not to say in the future that we can try to do something better. We actually, as you know, we're in the process of replacing some of the furnaces here. Central Hudson actually put a gas line in. It was gas, so it's hybrid, sort of speak. There's oil.
The furnaces are.
Right.
Yeah.
Oil and gas, but gas is actually the cheaper way to go. And that was something that the county environment folks have been to.
Yeah, and I do remember that was, and it's exactly that type of circumstance from that resolution that I want us to just have in the back of our minds, because that, I think, was something that went through law enforcement. I mean, that was before I was on the committee, but it went through law enforcement pretty smoothly. But I think when we came to session, there was some question about whether we should be approving it. I think those of us in that instance that, you know, kind of had to swallow the pill of fossil fuels because we, you know, winter was coming up, and we really don't want to run the risk of the folks that are jailed here not having heat. So that was a bit of stress, I think, that night of session. So I don't know that, you know, folks are going to be concerned about that as well, but I did want to bring that up.
We'll look into it as well, just to make
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think most chefs prefer gas.
Yeah, well, I would say this is not, I don't think this is a stove. I think this is a steaming system.
I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. We'll find out when we'll go downstairs.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but we can, exactly, we're in the right place to get these answers. So, any other questions about this? All right, without any further questions, I will call the question on, what are we on, 270?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we are unanimous on 270. Resolution number 272, authorizing an application for DOJ body-worn camera grant, Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make the motion.
Second it.
Thank you. Sheriff Figueroa?
So you're going to see a lot of grant applications this year.
We like to see that.
Because, first of all, our BJA grant for COSAP is up next year, and we can reapply where we intend to. We were selected as a collaborative justice innovative site, and with that comes access to all the grants that the federal government has. I actually met people that sit on those boards at these meetings, and so you're going to see a lot of that. This particular grant, of course, you know, we just approved and passed Axon. For the purposes of the road patrol, we still have the Panasonic cameras that work, but their warranty is up, and eventually to replace them, it's just easier to go out for bid and find something else. And that's why we're going to apply for this grant to offset the taxpayer money if we can.
So do you have a product in mind, or is that something that would come after the grant is awarded?
We would love to get Axon again, but obviously the way government works, we're probably going to have to go out for a bid on this.
Right. So there'll be a competitive bid, and you'll have...
And it's a different approach, too. I mean, most county jails don't have. Everyone
right.
doesn't have a camera. Here we do.
So this is just, this grant is just for corrections?
Correct. That's my plan. Is to
right.
use it
okay.
for, well, it's for the office, but to use
right.
it for
Got
corrections.
It.
I mean, I'd love to have Axon, but that's, I can't really make that call right now because there's a process in place that we all have to adhere to when it comes to this. I think it's important that with the criminal division to have it because of access. If someone pulls their weapon out from another agency that has Axon, everybody's cameras goes out.
Right.
It's not necessarily the same here at the county jail, which you'll see downstairs when we go down.
Right, okay. All right, any other questions or points of discussion?
I'm wondering where the matching funds would come from. It says in the resolution there would be matching funds.
So there is a certain percentage, but if we're already going to look at purchasing new cameras for the jail anyway, to offset the cost of the grant is a home run. The matching funds, I don't know what that percentage is, but I'll find out.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Just on this, for 189, do we still sign it, and then it just goes on as postponed? Okay, great. I just realized I haven't been...
That's okay.
Yeah.
I figured we might have time.
Yeah.
It's only three of you.
All right. So with that, if there's no further questions, I will call a question on 272. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That is unanimous. 273, appropriating funds from insurance revenues for replacement of vehicle, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget for the Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff Figueroa, would you like to tell us the sad story of... Oh, yeah, can I have a motion to discuss?
Oh, yes, motion to discuss.
Second.
Thank you. Now, Sheriff, can you tell us the sad story of this vehicle?
Yeah, so this was actually a brand new vehicle. We sent it down to go get the lights put on, and then it was a rainstorm that flooded the vehicle out. So we have a brand new vehicle that was flooded out and totaled with insurance. So this is the reimbursement. I believe that's what this vehicle
that
is.
It was never used.
It was never.
Oh.
That's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Have you already ordered a replacement, or is it?
I believe the money goes to the general fund. I'm not sure about how that works out. See, Central Auto, they're the ones that orders the vehicles. Not
yeah,
the
I don't think this
office.
Was a bonded one. This was one probably. This was purchased out of your budget. So what happens is. We reimburse that line.
Okay.
I think it's telephone commission.
This is the wrong title on it.
273.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a problem.
No, I'll just edit it.
Okay. Any other questions about the insurance? Obviously.
It is.
Yeah, it is what it is. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you for seeing that.
Yep, no problem. All right, moving on to resolution 274, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $3,561,981 entered into by the county with Prime Care Medical of New York Professional Care Medical Practice PC, Professional Care Dental Services PC, Personal Care Registered Professional Nursing PC, Ulster County Sheriff. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All right. Sheriff Figueroa, can you give us
sure,
a
this the Prime Care is our medical provider. This was a vendor that was selected by a committee made up of purchasing, the Department of Health, and the Sheriff's Office. This is a one-year extension. When we go downstairs, I'll show you what it is that they do. Basically, it's a 24/7 operation downstairs because we have, right now, I think we have 157 inmates. If there's a medical issue, they're the first ones to deal with it no matter what time, day or night. Dental, we have a psychiatrist that comes in, a doctor that comes in, and if it's something that they can't handle, they send them out to the hospital. An ambulance has to show up and send them out. So this is a one-year extension. There was a question by the vice chair regarding insurance and for individuals that have insurance when they come into the jail. That, and we're still researching it, but the warden advised me that the insurance issue stopped when the pandemic started. And we're going to get back to it, but he didn't have the details for me today. So, but at one point, if you come into the jail and you have insurance, then we would charge your insurance.
Right.
But when the pandemic started, that kind of stopped. And remember, this is our third calendar year of the pandemic. So I told him to research it and give me some answers, but he's still researching it. And I'm sure we'll get an answer for you soon, especially for the vice chair who was asking about
yeah.
it. But this particular resolution is for an extension for 1 year. It's probably going to go up again for a bidder, and there'll be another committee, and that's how the county does it, to see who's the best. You know, at the particular time when we got Prime Care, they were the only ones that were going to do a MAP program for us. This is before they passed the law. We started our MAP program in 2019. We did what's called a maintenance. So if you came in here and you fell off your script, we give you, we connect back with your doctors and put you back on the script and maintain you here at the jail. We just started induction. Induction is you come in, you get screened. The medical provider does research to make sure that, yes, there's a urine test to make sure that you do have an opioid issue, and then they put you on the program. And that started last year. And that's why Prime Care was selected in my first year in office in 2019. But it's a 3-year contract, and the contract is up. And we're probably going to go out for a bid again.
Any questions?
Is MAP an acronym?
Medical Assisted Treatment.
Thank you.
So how long have they been here? Since 2019?
Since 2019.
Okay. And you're just looking to extend it a year, and then it'll go?
It's going to go up through the process to go out and get a new bidder. Because of the pandemic, kind of want to stay with them.
So I'm just curious, is it staffed 24 hours a day?
Yes.
Or is it like an on-call, or
no,
there's somebody?
Okay. There's someone here, there's nurses here 24/7.
All right.
Can you describe the process of selecting the vendor? Like, you mentioned a committee.
So, when I first took office, there was folks that, there were several people that put in for a bid, so it goes out for a bid, through the contract process. I guess the RFP. You want to explain that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a typical RFP process where the purchasing department will work with the sheriff's office to set the bid spec. And then it'll go out, and then they'll, have a scoring committee, which will consist of people.
Oh, so that's just a standard.
Yeah,
it's
not, I was thinking
it was something.
Well, they did hire a consultant, though, for this.
To help craft the RFP, I would say.
Okay,
because
it is
specialized.
Particular, yeah.
They did hire a consultant, which we didn't in the past.
Right.
But we did in 2019 to make sure we got the right vendor for what we're looking to do.
Right.
So you've only worked with this company.
This is the only company since I've been
involved. Since you. And before that, do you know? No? Okay.
There was another company that they used. Who was the company that they used before? It was a mom and dad company.
Okay.
And they weren't very good.
Sometimes mom and dad is great, but not in this situation, huh?
Well, you know what's unique
this
about
is a really dark
yeah.
what
exactly.
What's unique about the jail, though, is that these vendors have to pass they're part of our accreditation through the State Commission on Corrections that comes in and they check the standards, and they have insurance, there's certain guidelines that they have. Same thing with the kitchen and the food contract. There are certain, and when I take you in there, you'll see that there's food that's been, 3 days ago, the breakfast, lunch, and dinner is in there, because if somebody gets sick, they have to go back and test it. So there's certain, procedures that we have to adhere to via the State Commission on Corrections.
Is this a not-to-exceed contract? In that we just pay for the services that the folks that are jailed receive, or is this a lump sum?
I don't have.
It looks like a lump sum. Well, not a lump sum, but it looks like, because I'm looking at a monthly breakdown.
Right.
That would imply if we know what our monthly breakdown is going to be, we're getting charged whether someone has a root canal or not. Is that right?
I'm not sure about that.
I remember looking in. When I first started, and we reviewed some of this stuff with you, with the warden, you're paying for staff. The predominant thing here is you have 24/7 medical staff that is in the jail, and that was the predominant charge. That's why there is the monthly,
right? Okay.
Because, and then when you look at the breakdown, they're required per the contract to have certain professional people on each shift.
Right. I see that.
So there's minimum staffing requirements that they have to meet, and it's spelled out. In the FTE and just the different counts, from what I recall.
And that one, you just brought up a great point. The MAP program, the Medical Assisted Treatment Program, comes with additional services that are required. And when the law is going to be official this October, so in preparation of that, I believe we submitted an amendment through this committee a few months ago regarding hiring a CASAC, because MAP is counseling services. It's not just you get the medication, there's services that come along with that. And that's part of the amendment that we did several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there's an RFP going out for a re-entry person. And particular company may put in for it or not. It could be somebody else. But there are services that come along with, you know, it's just not your standard thing. Is there additional services that are required per the law?
Right. So that's that RFP would be for the reentry component would be the, if you're receiving medically assisted treatment under this contract.
So it goes, there's a reentry and then there's discharge.
Right.
So while you're here, you're going to be maintained here, and the discharge planner starts to connect the dots. But once you're out the door, the discharge planner isn't going to be involved. The reentry component
right.
will be. Oracle will be.
Right.
So that's that different aspect. That remember, this is a new law that New York State just passed. So we're adjusting as well as we go forward on how this is going to work and make it better for the people in the county. So. Bottom line is we don't want them to come back here. We want them, we can use money to treat them better outside than inside.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Okay. Well, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Resolution number 275, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $12,149.09, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be equal to $50,000, entered into by the county with Visual Computer Solutions, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Sheriff?
This is our, basically our VCS is our payroll. That's payroll or overtime figures. That's what, and this is probably your annual amount, but because it's aggregate equal to 50,000, it has to be a resolution that's approved by, yep. by the legislature.
So the 12,000 is our annual amount for this?
I believe it is. Well, do you know what? I'm pretty sure it's there. I'm pretty sure
okay.
it's the annual.
I guess I'm. So do we need to approve it? So it's a contract of a multi-year term. And we need to approve every year the annual $12,000, and it's just been going on. It's a long enough term that it's
aggregate. So once you get past 50,000, equal to.
So every time it gets renewed, it'll be considered part of that same contract, which now has a value of higher than
correct
$50,000.
Correct.
Any questions from the committee first before I ask a few? So is there a reason why we don't use the same software as other departments in the county?
Because we have shift work here. The county doesn't have 24/7 shift work. We have 12-hour shifts over here. The detectives do 8-hour shifts, and we have 3 8-hour shifts on the other side. So you have A line, B line, and C line on this side, where you have 2 12-hour shifts over here, and then your admin staff work Mondays through Fridays. So there's a multitude of shifts, and that's why we use a different system here. Jump in if you want there.
Special teams, call outs, and then you have the jail contract, you have management, you have the PBA contract. It's the only program that we've tested a few that we can dovetail 3 different collective bargaining agreements,
mm-hmm.
then having a shift differential of if you have a corrections officer and a deputy sheriff on a special team. That's different rates at different contracts and triggered by different events. It's the only program we have that can actually accommodate any of that to any degree of efficiency.
Right.
So it's scheduling and payroll.
Right.
Combined.
And it does. It works like a time card.
Correct.
Like
it's a digital time card.
Yeah.
It has all your accruals.
Right.
And you can put in. It's another thing that we found that we've struggled with is if a deputy or even a civilian member puts in vacation a month in advance to make sure you have shift coverage.
Oh, okay.
This can be approved.
Oh, that's nice.
And then it deducts from the accrual in real time once it's approved. And it also syncs with the county email system, and it syncs with your calendar in your phone.
What do you mean it syncs with the email on the phone?
So when you, if you have, say I supervise someone in my
yeah.
office, if they put in for a vacation day or a sick day, I get an email to that in one of my inboxes.
Got it.
So I can monitor that.
Oh, so
the
they
office.
Make their vacation requests through or sick, you know, they call out through the software?
Yes.
Got it.
Deputy Executive Kelly, do you know what we use, like how that differs from what we use in other departments? Because I know we have other departments that do have a pretty broad coverage window and probably have similar challenges.
So within our area, I have 911. That's my 24-hour.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's not. We don't have any other 24-hour offices.
So what do they use?
We use Time Force. So that's what the county has adopted as their timekeeping system. But to the sheriff's point, it's not. Our scheduling is not as complex. Like, the 911 team is all on the same schedule. There's not a whole lot of complication that comes in with that. So I know that their scheduling is quite a bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are starting to move towards, I know finance is looking at moving from paper-based checks into signing into a portal, and you'll be able to get the PDF copy, stuff like that, but COVID kind of held up a lot of those enhancements, so they are looking at the portal though now.
Do you know if this is one of the programs that you're looking at?
No, we have Time Force is our vendor.
Oh, okay.
So we've adopted a system for payroll,
right,
and timekeeping that it's, once you have, he's got, what do you have, 200 employees?
285.
So for the other 1,000, we've already adopted a system, and for us to change over at any point is a massive undertaking.
Right, but so you're upgrading within that system.
We're upgrading within to add,
yeah,
on other features so we can kind of start to move away from paper and make it more accessible.
Do you know what we pay for that software?
No idea.
Okay.
I mean, that's something I can reach out to.
I would be curious about it. Well, mostly for no other reason than just to give me, like, I can't tell if $12,000 is like a great deal or not, right? It's hard to say. It's obvious that the software is doing a lot, and I have no qualms about. I mean, I'm gonna, you know, I think we're all supportive of pushing this through.
The other software, not to interrupt, that we've tested required 2-person manpower. This payroll under this system can be run by one person. So that was the other consideration we had. We had to pull a fiscal assistant just to assist with other, to fill in mainly the gaps that the other data entry things couldn't capture, like monitoring your accruals in real time with the county, inputting obviously different entries for different types of operations with the unit.
Right.
And forgive me for not introducing everybody. Jared Blades is the chief civil administrator and the commander of Urgent. He's a full prosecutor at the DA's office. He's a lawyer. Mario Tagliafiero runs our AVERT and is part of the Oracle team. And we'll talk about him after the meeting. And of course, I'm the sheriff, Eric Benjamin. And you guys know the gentleman around me.
Yeah. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I, so I sat on the last term, I sat on the committee that oversaw IS, and we would get software requests all the time, and it was very overwhelming from the perspective of a committee person to figure out if we're getting a good deal, if the software's doing good stuff or not. The answer that we're getting here is refreshing, frankly, and I think I would be curious if IS has looked at this for other. I'm not trying to, Deputy Executive, I know it's going to come across like we're trying to push some massive adoption and it's not even under our purview, but I feel the kind of stuff that you guys are doing here with the scheduling is the kind of stuff that we probably need to be doing and maybe are on some level in the whole workforce. So I just am saying that for the record now.
It could be more efficient to think holistically because during snow season, the plow guys are out all night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and just managing vacation. I mean, I used to run a company. Managing vacation is a nightmare. And we were not doing anything as complicated and critical as this. So
I will say that Time Force allows us to do all of the things of submitting for vacation time, approvals, all of those things. We now all have online access in terms of I sign in and I can... I have to approve my own payroll. Every employee does that has access to the system. So a lot of that is incorporated. It's more about some of the other enhancements where when I worked for the state, I didn't receive a paper check the entire time because I just got the PDF version. I could always access my W-2s, whatever I needed. Those are some of the things that we're moving towards. So otherwise, Time Force has been a pretty good system, I have to say. Kronos would be probably one of the nearest competitors in that space, but they're the ones who won the competitive bid. A lot of stuff, so when you're talking about software and information services, a lot of this stuff is either going to come through an RFP or it's going to come through mini bids through OGS contracts, where there are a lot of these larger vendors are already on, they already went through a process to get approved by the state, so they do a lot of these mini bids. If it's like an Oracle or a Cisco type thing where multiple vendors have licenses to actually resell the product, you'll go to a mini bid and you'll get three or four responses, and that's your process for a lot of that stuff. Unless it's Microsoft, then you're just beholden.
Yeah. I will say that all makes a lot of sense, and I agree that that's the reality. I know from my conversations with our county executive when he first took office that there is optimism that there could be there would be less constraints and that we could be more innovative, and you know we're a few years later and realities are present, but you know as much as we can get back to the vigor of that energy of maybe we can find a better way to do this, I think we should.
But I just want to add on VCS that it's again it's scheduling and payroll, but it has its flaws too. Sometimes there's an integration issue when we reach out to the county for pay when we do payroll. We've attempted to look at other solutions to it, and we've invited the Department of Finance, actually the commissioner and his folks to help us get something that. So, but this works for us.
Yeah.
It has flaws, but it does work for us.
Cool. Any other questions?
Well, I just think it's good you brought the conversation up that we might be getting a great deal, or maybe not. But it's just something to look at in the future and keep in mind.
Yeah. Well, and with like, you know, you look at things like we on this committee will look at things like what is the NICOMCO, you know, where it'll be like, oh yeah, we just, it is what it is. Like you're getting the radios or whatever it is, right? And that's how a lot of the IS conversations felt when I was on that committee. You know, we talk about government being more innovative and, you know, really figuring out how we're, you know, if we're spending money well, and so much of it we just don't have a choice about, you know? And as an elected official, you come in and you're like, I'm gonna make all these changes, I'm gonna do all these things. And it's like, oh yeah, like 90% of it was determined like before you were born, so.
It's funny you bring up that comment when I took office, so 30 or 40 contracts. I'm like, why do we have so many contracts? Why can't we combine some of these? And that's exactly what we did over the last 2 years, was start kind of combining some of them. I'm like, why do we have all these different contracts? And NICOMCO is another one of those where you have to watch them because it's a monopoly.
Right? Goose Town's the only other show.
Goose Town's but then none of them are sheet metal.
That's where all the frequencies are. All
right, so I think we're good on this. We've probably moved into the non-germane category here, but I will call the question on, what are we on, 275, on resolution 275, all in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. All right.
Good deal.
Moving on, why don't we, is there any, before we go into this, I'll just ask quickly, is there any reason not to just consider all the SROs in one conversation? Nothing specific about, okay. So I would like to block the three SRO requests. I would like to entertain a motion to block 276, 277, and 278.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor of blocking those three resolutions?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. I would like to entertain a motion to discuss the block of 276, 277, and 278.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All right, Sheriff Figueroa, would you like to give a little background?
These are our SRO contracts for OCs, Round Out, Valley Central School District, and Ontior Central School District. I just want to say that, you know, the last couple of years have been kind of unique and tough in law enforcement regarding the use of SROs in schools. But to me personally, someone who's been in law enforcement for over 34 years, and looking at it, it's not the same way as SROs were selected when I was a young trooper. And I'll say that by saying they would put someone just to get them off the road into the SRO program. That's not the case anymore. These They're educated. There's a program at the State Sheriff's Association. One's called CPAS. You can Google it, look at it. These are certified SROs. They get interviewed by the schools. They make the selection, and the schools pay their salaries. I would say go to round out and speak about Trooper Wattell, who's a young trooper. His father and I worked together. That's why I said Trooper Wattell, but this is his son. Deputy Sheriff Wattell is the SRO there, and he's doing a great job. He's at their age. He understands them. They can communicate. And then, of course, Tommy Sharon, Deputy Sheriff Tommy Sharon, who they absolutely love up at Onteora. He's got 5 kids that goes there himself. And that connection to law enforcement is something that we've lost over several generations. And I think that the way we run the program is a little bit unique than others. And, for example, the deputy sheriff is not going to be responding to arrest somebody at somebody's home that their parents are and the kids are. So when they go to school, they're going to see them there. That's not the case of the way we treat our SROs. They don't do discipline, and they know what their roles are. And all I would say is for those that don't believe in the program is speak to the schools themselves. Speak to the parents in those schools. Speak to the teachers at those schools. They want them there. And if you speak to the SROs yourselves, you're going to know why they want them there. These are the ultimate professionals. I talked about Tommy Sharon because he loves what he does. He got promoted to detective and was doing a great job, but his heart and soul was to be at school with these young kids. And that generational difference that we've lost because of the invention of computers and phones. If you see him working, show up there one day and see for yourself. That's all I'll say. And you can see why our SROs are different and special.
Any questions or discussion from?
Did we also block 279?
279 is different.
Race.
Yeah, totally unrelated.
I work in a school district, and I have to say that the SROs, integral part, so needed and just well respected, and have such a rapport with the students. It's definitely an asset to have. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'll just say, I've been critical of this program in the past. I understand where the program comes from and the role that it plays. I have a hard time with the argument that these are our best people, so this is what they should be doing. I'd like to think of all of our people as our best people, and if there are best people among them, I really want those people out on the street, that are part of the Road Patrol Division that are interacting with, I want every interaction with a constituent to come with the type of accolade that you've shared about SROs tonight. So I'm, voting in favor of this tonight, and I'll, have to consider how to vote on the floor, but I will not stand in the way of the officers, at the request of the schools. But I might vote against it as a protest for the concept. But I hear where you're coming from, and I respect the role of this place.
And is the concept you're referring to having officers?
Having police officers in schools, yeah. I think that we've seen the need to change the dynamic between police and the community, and I think one of the ways that you can engage the community in changing any dynamic is when folks are young, when they're learning, norms in our of how a community works. I worry, I represent the city of Kingston. The city of Kingston contracts SROs from Kingston Police and from the town of Ulster Police for some reason as well. So that's not, it's. I would never be in a position of voting on my own SROs and, talking to a district that I represent, which is why if I was in a position where my vote would be the deciding vote about it, I would have, I would probably vote in the affirmative because I didn't want to stand in the way of a request coming from a district I didn't represent. But I worry with Kingston that some of the bad relationships that I think everyone at the table would agree need to be improved are actually
reinforced in the schools in this program in Kingston. I've heard some very bad stories, and it's on them to work on it. You know, that's one of the things of being a county legislator that represents a city that has their own robust government where they sort a lot of their issues out at the city level, and I try not to get involved in that. You know, KPD has work to do. And the SRO program there is one of the areas. So I concede that a lot of the opinions that I've drawn are not about the sheriff's office, but are really about the experience my constituents have had.
And I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. I'm someone that I'm very familiar with inner city schools and how different they are compared to schools that are out in Oneonta or Onteora or Rondell. But I believe, though, all of us that are in the positions of authority have to use the best people that you have for the best jobs that they can do. Everyone's strong in certain areas and weak in others. That's in every and any industry. I wish I could have all those SROs on the road, but unfortunately, they're specifically trained to do specific jobs, and that's something that we all have in our industry. I will stress, though, that it's important that even though you don't represent those particular districts, as the chairman, I would go out there. I would go and see for yourself, because I think sometimes we get caught up with reading and seeing things in other places, and we use that broad brush, and I don't like the broad brush because of who I am. And I think if you go out there on your own as the law enforcement committee, without any of us there, just speaking to the parent teacher association, speaking, maybe observing the SRO one day, showing up there and see for yourself. I think you'll get a different perspective on the program. And CPAS, please Google it. It's a great program. It's run by the State Sheriff Association.
And I was just going to add that coming off of COVID, so many more mental health situations in our schools. I see it. I'm in an elementary school this year. I see it with the children of that age group. They've been home. God knows what kind of circumstances. So the fact that there's somebody else there, I think that they probably had to work even harder over the last couple of years, especially this year, coming back. Some students were home for 2 years. And coming back in that mental health piece is really needed, in my opinion. And you know, just being on the inside and seeing it, it's definitely something that I would fight for.
Rondout is in my district, and so I'll take your recommendation and go visit Deputy Sheriff Wattell. And both my kids just graduated from Rondout recently. I'll talk to them about SROs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
he's a tall, lanky kid.
Yeah, and I think if they're seen as mentors, then it can be a successful program.
They are.
Now, you don't do every district. Some districts come do their own through their own budget. Is that's how it works?
Well, it's usually they reach out if they're looking for an SRO, then they do the interviews.
Okay.
They get to decide who they want in their schools, and then we draw up the contract. Obviously, there's give and take in the conversations, but the folks that are in there now are selected by the people at the school.
With that, I'll call the question on the block of 276, 277, and 278. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oh, my signature. Yeah, when I at a certain point, I had to cut it down.
I was texting.
All right, so this last resolution, 279, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, Raise the Age Program, Department of Probation. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Deputy Executive Kelly, because Nancy's not here, you can
Thank
take
you,
over.
Nancy sends her regrets. She's bit under the weather still, so she gave me the full briefing. So this resolution is actually for the preceding year. So the state is literally a year late on all Raise the Age funding. So this is going to be reimbursing for last year.
Oh, wow.
But I think it's important that you guys know what it's reimbursing for. $531,000 in salary and fringe for staff. That's 1.5 probation officers, senior probation officer, supervisor, and a youth and family engagement coordinator. $188,000 for programming and supplies, and this includes RTA portion of restorative justice funding, Family of Woodstock, $96,800, debt service on building out the center, so they reimburse for capital, so that's $27,000, as well as some of the other programs that go on in restorative justice, which we are now open and starting to do in-person things again in there, which is exciting. It was all also really, it was tabled for 2 years because of COVID, but Kim's starting to get up and going. And
great.
Yeah. But this is, there was a little discussion in the state budget this year because the state is operating a year behind. So they are reimbursing us for this money for last year's programming. They haven't even requested our plan for this year's program.
Meaning they have not requested our plan for the year that we're for 5 months
in.
In.
Yeah, so, okay. And remember, we're on the state fiscal calendar.
Oh, right, which is July to June?
No, that's a different one. So
okay.
State
April?
Fiscal is April 1
right.
to 3, yeah, to March.
Yeah, July to June is like the corporate calendar.
Corporate, and then
yeah.
You have the federal calendar, which begins in October.
Right, okay.
So that's what we're managing. We typically have three fiscal calendars, and then you sometimes have grant calendars for finance.
So when you say there was some discussion at the state, what do you mean by that?
That there's money due to a lot of the people conducting these programmings, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of promises made about Raise the Age and what was going to come down when they passed the initiative. This was in 2017's state budget. This
right.
was the big initiative at the time. So certain things never panned out, I'll say that much. And then the timeliness of submitting a plan and getting funded, like, it's literally backwards.
It seems backwards.
So they talked about getting it right now, but right now we haven't received anything from DCGIS right now in terms of requesting a plan for next year.
Do you, either of you have any questions?
Can you run through those numbers again? It doesn't equal the 720 that's on the financial impact.
So I left off like the dollars. Like
that's fine.
It's
just the
okay,
big ones.
Okay, $531,730.
Thank you.
$188,312. But that was inclusive of $96,800 for Family of Woodstock.
Thank you.
So the inclusive part, I think, is
that's
probably
the
where
one
we got
that
tripped up.
Took it over the top. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Two questions. One, are we concerned at the security of the funding? And the second question, no, we're not.
No.
Okay. Because that renders moot my second question, which was, would we be doing things differently, knowing that we're a year behind getting paid for it? I don't say that as a judgment on the work itself. It might be work we would want to fund out of our taxpayers.
Sure. So in the month of January, February, and March, the budget office, what they're primarily doing is watching the state budget. And so we know what's already been appropriated in terms of buckets that will be coming down. It's just that DCGIS hasn't jumped quick enough. I don't know why, but they haven't asked for the plans yet, but we know the appropriations there. So the authority to give the funds out already exists. So we're not worried in that sense. We would be worried that if on April 1, when they pass the state budget, I still watch it intently, if I saw that it wasn't in the bill, in the Article 7 language, so
right.
then I'd be concerned, but I'm not.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, and so we have no old business. Does anyone have any new business that they want to discuss?
I want to go back to Resolution 273 after listening to every county's act.
Yeah, we can do that.
But that this may be another vehicle that we're talking about. There was a head-on collision up in Saratoga.
Okay.
They transported a prisoner. And if it's that vehicle, that might be the funding from the insurance revenues to replace that vehicle. I will get the information, and I will call you directly when I get that.
Okay. I will say that I find it hard to believe that a vehicle fit for service in your office in this type of work could be reimbursed for $23,000. It just doesn't seem like enough money to buy a road-going road patrol or correction. I guess that's one of the questions, right, is it corrections or road patrol? But if it's corrections, it's got to be some kind of van, right? And if it's road patrol, it's got to be patrol-rated. And you can't get either for $23,000.
I'll get you the details.
Okay. Cool. Not that we would ever refuse the money from the insurance company,
but... it's important for me to know for you. So yeah. I'll make sure I'll get the right information.
I'll just sign it, just in case Jamie says I need it. I don't, but...
Okay. So don't check off approved or disapproved.
Just put your initial.
Disapproved.
Yeah. Just in case.
So the one topic that I wanted to bring up in new business was just to discuss, and I wish we had more committee people here. Next month, I would like to meet at the Restorative Justice Center. We were going to do that a couple months ago, but then we entered, wave 5 or 6, and now we're on 8 or 9, so hopefully, you know, we can keep doing in-person meetings.
It's for June.
For June.
Wow.
Which is wild, huh?
Yeah.
And I think it would be great at that meeting, assuming Nancy's feeling better, to get a really, you know, to hear from her, just about some of the bigger programs, and maybe we can talk, Chris, about what those programs would be that we would hear from her on. Maybe
okay.
If we give her like 10 minutes, just to kind of talk about it. You know, you and I were, you know, you hosted me for
mm-hmm.
kind of understanding better about probation, and I thought it was really informative. And then also from Kim. On the restorative justice side, now
okay.
that they're doing stuff, I think that'll be really, really great.
And then a little tour.
Yeah, and a tour. And yeah, so that'll be tentatively our plan.
Okay.
Hi.
I can't do these tours.
Well, because you have to, right, because you have, well, we'll go a different time.
Yeah.
Sheriff offered to.
Yeah. I think Tommy Corcoran and I are going to come up one day.
Just because Gina has a meeting right after this one, so
we're gonna.
Yeah. But we were talking about then if we're when we go to that, she just misses the tours when we do tours.
She has another meeting immediately following this.
Yeah.
So you said that you'd be more than happy to schedule
absolutely.
Anything what's convenient for you.
All right.
I just released a publication about Kingston yesterday. If you guys want a copy,
I guess.
It's your district.
Thank you. Oh, great! Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Picture. It's the well downtown.
Then you already get spring water.
Oh, good. It's fresh water.
I know where
that
is.
I'm not sure what this was.
Right?
I'll swipe the
end. I'll give them my copy.
Motion to adjourn.
So motion?
Second.
All right. All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
All right. Sorry to lean on you guys so heavily with my.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.